Get your family vehicles ready for summer driving with early Memorial Day deals at Dobbs. Click on GoToDobbs.com for money saver tire and service deals today. Dobbs, with 43 locations, real deals are always close by. Get ready for winter driving at Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers with super deals on tires, including up to $200 on new Goodyear tires, plus oil changes, brakes, batteries, and more. For value and savings, click on GoToDobbs.com today.
We're very happy right now to be joined by ESPN's NFL Insider, the former NFL General Manager, and one of the co-founders of the new website, The 33rd Team. He is Mike Tannenbaum, joining us via the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line. Mike, thanks so much for the time today, man. How are you doing?
Doing great, guys. How's everybody?
Doing very well. So let's start with the question that we just asked. I'm fascinated by this Buccaneers versus Rams matchup going into this weekend. The Bucs have been incredibly impressive once again to start out this season. The Rams offense has looked really good so far with Matt Stafford. How much of a chance do you give the Rams in this game? And if they are able to take down the Bucs, how much does that change the expectations for them moving forward?
Yeah, it's should be a great game. And I think the Buccaneer defense is somewhat underrated. You know, look, Tom Brady is Tom Brady. We all know that. But, you know, last year they really manhandled Kansas City up front in the Super Bowl. And I think that's going to be the tale of this game, which is, look, if Matt Stafford is protected, you know, between Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods, they have so many weapons. I think Van Jefferson's a little bit of an underrated player as well. DeSean Jackson really hasn't been quite involved yet. So I think this is all about the line of scrimmage and who controls it may ultimately win this game.
Speaking of the Rams, Mike, are you sold on the NFC West right now as being the most dominant division? Because it really feels like, I mean, you have somebody legitimately who could fight for a Super Bowl in every single one of those teams.
Yeah, you know, we were just talking about that the other day, which is like, I would challenge you guys, like, take a half a step back. I wouldn't even talk about football. Like, I can't remember the last time in any sport where you have a division top to bottom as good as the NFC West. And I don't think there's any doubt that all three teams in the playoffs could very well come from the West. And I agree, you can make an argument for any of those teams on any given day could not only win the division, but make like a real, real deep run.
When you look at the 49ers and what they've done so far this year, Mike, they're one of the teams that I came into the season thinking had a legit Super Bowl aspirations. They now have Trey Lance on the sidelines. He's their first round pick this year, as you know. How do you handle this situation if you're the head coach, the general manager? Are you just allowing Jimmy to go forward as the starting quarterback this year until he maybe hits a little bit of a hiccup? But what are you expecting for the way that they're going to handle this quarterback situation the rest of the way?
You know, I've been very fortunate to work for some really great defensive coaches in my career. Bill Parcells, Bill Belichick, Eric Mangini, Rex Ryan, and all those guys would tell you the same thing, that when a quarterback can make plays with his feet, he puts a lot of pressure on a defense. So I think maybe they start sprinkling him in a little bit more. That just puts more pressure on the defense. So I think Jimmy G is really good, but obviously they gave up a ton for Trey Lance. He's their future. And I think sprinkling him in, guys, at the appropriate time makes a lot of sense.
Since we're on the quarterback topic, let's go over to the one I think everybody's talking about, and it's the Chicago Bears with Justin Fields. If you've been in the general manager's seat before, Mike, I mean, how would you play this scenario out where Fields is starting week two, but Matt Nagy is still saying Andy Dalton is our number one quarterback?
Yeah, that one, I struggle there. I mean, I just think Fields is the better player. I mean, look, we go back to the Jets and Rex Ryan, you know, 09 and Mark Sanchez, we drafted him, and from day one, drill one, he was the starter, and we never looked back. We went to the championship game that year. I don't know. I just feel like this is a situation where Andy Dalton, look, we just know he's a backup. Like, let's move on, and Fields has a great upside. This is not Jimmy G. Like, this is a marginal guy and a guy with a huge upside. So I would just move on, cut the cord, and let's go. I mean, I would consider trading Dalton because you got Nick Foles behind that, but your future, what you've given up, it's all about Justin Fields in Chicago.
Mike, philosophically speaking, do you ever worry about potentially burying a rookie quarterback? Because we're seeing some struggles early on, as expected, from the Jets and from the Jaguars, and both of their rookie quarterbacks have had their struggles early this year. How much of a worry is there about potentially burying a rookie quarterback there and potentially in Chicago as well with the rough offensive line that they have?
I think there's a way you could do it. And again, I give Rex a lot of credit. Like, I saw it firsthand with Mark Sanchez, which was, you know, you put governors on the engine. Maybe it's 20, you know, snaps a game. There's ways you can do it where, look, Zach Wilson could have been pulled the other day because he was playing so poorly. And I don't know. I just feel like there's ways you can develop a quarterback where you're not eviscerating them.
So with the Justin Fields conversation, and I know the GM and the head coach have conversations with that, but the decision to still claim Andy Dalton as the number one quarterback, does that put Matt Nagy on the hot seat?
I don't know if it puts him in the hot seat, but, you know, look, that's a hard job. Like, you know, I was fortunate enough to be GM of the Jets. Like, there's a lot of eyeballs when you're the head coach or GM in a major market. I just think if Matt Nagy could have taken a half a step back and, you know, over the summer and said, like, okay, like, let's game this out. Like, what are the vulnerabilities? What's the best way to handle this? I don't know. I just feel like that could have been one of those things where it's not easy. It's easy for us to sit here. He should have said X or Y. But ultimately, it's about your locker room, guys. It's about, hey, who's going to give us the best chance to win? And again, I think this one is so clear and obvious that I think you just have to say, and look, he was, in fairness, right, in Kansas City where they had Patrick Mahomes. He sat for all but one game his rookie year. Alex Smith played. The rest is history. This is not that situation, and I think he has to sort of understand that and evolve from that.
Final quarterback question that I wanted to ask you about in terms of the difficult decisions that teams might have to make is in Pittsburgh, because Ben Roethlisberger has basically looked this year the way that he looked at the end of last year. It hasn't been pretty for him. They don't have a very good offensive line right now. Mike, when you're a general manager in the spot similar to what Pittsburgh's in right now, how do you stick with this guy? What's got to be the plan for the Pittsburgh Steelers if they want to try to contend this year at the quarterback spot?
Yeah, and I don't really, you know, get them all right, but I did talk about that for months, and all my good friends in the Pittsburgh area were of killing me. But, you know, it's hard to replace one offensive lineman. They're trying to replace three. I think that's just really hard to do. So if I was them, I would have either brought Alejandro Villanueva, David DeCastro, and Marquise Pouncey back with Ben or move on. I just think it was a misalignment of trying to, you know, change three positions on the offensive line and protect the 39-year-old quarterback. And I was at the game, and I'll tell you what, you know, the Raiders just dominated the line of scrimmage. Like, Ben was never comfortable.
It was terrible. He doesn't look good, and he looks like his arm is completely sapped at this point in time. It's hard to watch from the outside looking in. Mike, I wanted to ask you about some of these young quarterbacks. I think everybody in your position would take Patrick Mahomes at the top of the list, right? And then it's a matter of who would you have second. Who would be second on your list right now? If I said you could start an expansion team right now and you get to pick any other quarterback not named Patrick Mahomes to start your franchise with, who would be the guy that you would put at the top of that list?
Well, I'll tell you what. You just asked me one of the easiest questions I ever had, because if you go to ESPN.com and you go every Wednesday morning, you get my quarterback rankings 1 to 32.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do that every week on ESPN.com, and it's a lot of fun. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers, like, if you had to say for today, obviously Brady, you know, Rodgers. But, like, to me, the interesting discussion is, like, Kyler Murray and Derek Carr they've worked themselves into that conversation. And that, to me, is really interesting because those players are really improved. I like Josh Allen a lot. He'd be in that conversation. But for me, it would certainly be Mahomes. And after that, you know, the guy that I really liked, that I've liked for a while, is Justin Herbert.
That's the one that I would go with. I was surprised you hadn't mentioned him yet. What about him is unique for somebody that, like yourself, that has been in those rooms where you're scouting these quarterbacks before and you've taken first round quarterbacks? What is it about Justin Herbert when you're breaking him down that makes him so special?
Yeah, he was my number one guy last year. I had him over Tua and Burrow. He was my number one guy on the board, and he has the height, weight, speed. You know, if you go back to opening day a couple of years ago, there, maybe in the national championship game, he's competing for the Heisman Trophy if they had beaten Auburn in Dallas on opening day. And he processes information really well. He can make all the throws. He has impeccable character. There's nothing he doesn't have, except that, you know, there's a massive, and I'm guilty of this too, of an SEC bias. You know, there's just so many players that are taken from the SEC. And I made the point on TV that was like, look, if Justin Herbert was, you know, in any of those SEC schools, we'd be talking about him as the first pick. But the fact that, you know, he went to Oregon really hurt him. And I think from a national exposure. A lot of those games are late. People don't see him, but he's a great player. He's a great person, and I think he has just compelling upside.
Final question for Mike Tannenbaum. We'll get you out of here on this one, Mike. You mentioned the scouting side of things. Who's the number one quarterback right now going into next year's draft? I don't know how much scouting you've been able to do on that side of things, but as you're kind of setting up for next year's draft, who's the guy that you are most interested in?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, guys like Keenan Slottis, Howell, North Carolina, Spencer Rattler. I mean, those are the guys that will be in the conversation. You know, Rattler is very talented, but he's a little bit small. It's hard to say right now. Like, I don't think there's a clear-cut favorite. You know, I think what we're going to be talking about is for the teams that need quarterbacks are going to be like, hey, what happens if Jameis Winston continues to play well? Obviously, what's going on with Deshaun Watson? Is Jimmy G going to, you know, go someplace else because of Trey Lance? Those, to me, are going to be the conversations, because there's no Trevor Lawrence, in my opinion, in this year's draft, or certainly hasn't started off that way so far.
He's Mike Tannenbaum. You can find him on Twitter at Real Tannenbaum. Also, check out his new website. It's the 33rd Team. If you go to his Twitter account at Real Tannenbaum, you'll see a bunch of links that he's got over there. He's one of the co-founders for the website. It's really good work that he's doing over there. And of course, you can see him on ESPN as well. Mike, we always appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much for hopping on with us today, and we'll talk with you again soon.
All right. Thanks so much for having me, guys. Really appreciate it.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, GEICO can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and GEICO is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to GEICO.com or contact your local agent today.
Peloton's best offer of the season is here. Get up to $300 off accessories when you purchase a Peloton bike, Bike Plus, or Tread. Choose from a variety of accessories, like our cycling shoes, a heart rate monitor, non-slip grip dumbbells, and more. If you've been looking for a sign to join Peloton, this offer gives you everything you need to get going. This limited-time offer ends November 28th. Visit onepeloton.com to learn more. All access membership separate. Offer starts November 14th and ends November 28th. Cannot be combined with other offers. See additional terms at onepeloton.com.